Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Texas Insider Show. I'm your host, Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, high atop the Worldwide Talk 1370 Right Choice headquarters in West Austin. We got Dalen producing behind the glass, and happy Saturday afternoon to you. A little partly cloudy or cloudy, I guess they're saying we might get some rain later today, but boy, the blue bonnets and the Indian paint brushes are really coming out. It's starting to spring up around the central Texas area, and we're glad to have you while you're running around doing some things on the weekend, working in the yard, doing whatever you're getting ready for sports this spring. And be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we post about 10 to 15 articles every day. Or check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Texas Insider. We gained about 150 new Facebook friends this week, so it was a pretty good week. And I think it's having to do with all the activity down at the state capitol and the state legislature, which we're going to get into. But as we always like to say, you're either an insider or you're not. And there have been plenty of things going on, especially the last 24 hours with the Mueller report coming out. And, of course, that's going to be sucking a lot of the air out of the room for other issues or for subject matter and for cheap entertainment, frankly, folks, is the way I'd advise some of us to be watching this. It's been 2 years plus, $25 million plus, and who knows where they're going to end up, because it's all about one tribe against the other tribe and not enough about focusing on what's positive for America. But before we get into the state legislative stuff, I'm telling you, this is going to be our second week in a row, and I'll just let you know, at the state capitol, we've talked about it. The top three issues this session are property tax reform, at least if you believe what you see in the Statesman and talk to some of the folks around the capitol in the lobby community. That's coming to a head, or at least to the stage where there's going to be an increasing amount of focus and intensity. But we've got Daniel Gonzalez from the Texas Association of Realtors and Dale Kramer from the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association. We have got a real insider show today with two of the most respected and preeminent tax reform and property tax experts in the state. And also, just get ready, because we're going to be focusing on, we got 65 days between now and May 27th, the end of the session. Or is it the 29th? I keep getting mixed up. I think it's the 29th. But we're going to be focusing on property tax reform, because if they come, 75% of the way close to getting where they say they're going to get, it's going to be the most revolutionary tax reform since 1979. At least that's what I heard from Dale Kramer the other day in one of the newspapers. But first, I got to mention just a couple things to keep you on the inside of national politics. For those of you who are interested in the national stuff this week, obviously we had the Mueller report come out yesterday. The important thing to know there, folks, at least in some people's little humble opinion, that would be mine and mine only, is that now what happens is Robert Mueller issues a report. Well, who does he issue a report to? He issues it to the Attorney General of the United States. That would be William Barr, recently confirmed by the Senate. Well-respected former attorney general under George Bush. And Robert Mueller issues a report as special counsel to the attorney general's office. And he is required under statute to issue two reports. He's required to issue a statement that basically says what the investigation has concluded and describe it or explain the recommendations that Mueller says are appropriate or warranted to go forward. It's a very simple, milquetoast, boring little report. The second thing he's got to do, and he said during the confirmation hearings here back in, I believe it was November when he was confirmed, he's going to issue a second report to the chairman of the House and the Senate Judiciary Committees. And William Barr has said he's taking very seriously the line where in the statute it says this report shall be confidential. That means there's going to be leaks. It's probably not going to be coming out of William Barr and the Attorney General and the Justice Department, but they're, who knows why Lakers leak, but they do. And then we'll start to see what happens. I mean, the congressional Democrats are already saying they're going to subpoena Mueller. They can do that, but Trump can override him appearing if he wants. It'll be the next stage of what's the national Democrats' campaign to kill Donald Trump, literally, figuratively, and every way in between. So the reports aren't going to be too significant, but be getting ready for it. Another thing, if you're following the Democrat presidential candidates, Kamala Harris was in Grapevine yesterday. Everybody's going to be dragging their fundraising bag through the state of Texas. She came, campaigned in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area, I guess trying to sell a little bit of her Democrat socialist New Green Deal, New Raw Deal, whatever you want to call it. And also, Dalen, did you see our friend and frequent guest Steve Moore from CNN and has been with Fox News, my old friend and running buddy from Capitol Hill, Steve Moore, it was announced yesterday, or Donald Trump tweeted that he's going to nominate Steve Moore to the Federal Reserve Board. He's got to fill out his paperwork this weekend. I haven't talked to him yet, but that'll probably be a month or two in the works. So that's kind of interesting because that has to do with setting the interest rates and how the economy is going to be performing in the next 18 months, surely, if not the next year. And then finally, I saw a poll that a bunch of economic modeling folks who predicted that Donald Trump would win 2 years ago have said, and this is the lead article, be sure and check it out at texasinsider.org. I've got two articles up there. One is a quote by Bernie Sanders. Did you see that Bernie Sanders said the other day, quote, "When we get into the White House, we're going to get rid of fracking. It ruins the air. It ruins the water." And I tell you, we've got close to 3,500 Facebook likes. But then the other thing was that these economic modeling predictors that were successful, the one or two that were successful 2 years ago, said that Donald Trump's going to win. They're saying right now, and this is the headline, that if the election were ahead today, the Donald Trump campaign would win in a landslide. That's not my words, that their quote, that they'd win handily. So we're going to take a break here already. I can't believe time's flying when you're having fun, and come back with Texas Taxpayer and Research Association's Dale Kramer and the Texas Realtors' Daniel Gonzalez. Folks, we're 65 days left out of 140 in the Texas legislature, and I don't know if the wheels are starting to come off, but this last week or two, you're starting to hear some things that are very, very interesting down at the state capitol. And Republicans so far have been spending a lot of money, frankly, and there may not be enough for tax reform left, or at least what some people define as tax reform, right here on the Texas Insider Show. We'll be taking a short break and back with Dale Kramer and Daniel Gonzalez on Talk 1370, The Right Choice.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, good job there, Dalen. A little Los Lonely Boys coming back in with a little piece of heaven. And folks, we are in Austin, Texas. That's what we're sitting on, is a little piece of heaven. And on a cloudy day here in the nation's 11th largest city, as I always like to say, that would be Austin, Texas. But welcome back, and thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we post about 10 to 15 articles every day. We got old Ron Oliveira in the studio streaming us live on Facebook. If you're inclined to tune in and watch all of our machinations and fists being thrown and hand gestures like Beto O'Rourke these days. But we're visiting with some of the state's preeminent insiders. I don't know, that's probably not the right word. Some of the state's experts on property tax and school finance, to give it its proper due. And that would be Dale Kramer from the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association, and Daniel Gonzalez from the Texas Association of Realtors. Guys, really appreciate you taking the time to come in and visit with us. Because tell me if I'm wrong, we are 65 days left to go in a 140-day session. We are necessarily at the time where things start to get interesting, but I'm just looking at some of these numbers, and there was an article in the Dallas Morning News yesterday talking about how the conservatives are starting to look at our statewide elected leaders that we'll get to in maybe a little bit. But first of all, tell us, we've got 65 days left. I saw the other day that the Senate's passed a supplemental bill. People don't know what a supplemental bill is, but it's leftovers, excuse me, from the previous session where they spent $3 or $4 billion. They've spent $4 billion on a teacher pay raise. We've done hurricane recovery funding, which is necessary. The Senate's been kind of spending more than the House, I think, which is an interesting and curious thing. So here we are. Everybody's wondering how they're going to pay for tax reform and property tax reform. Start with you, Dale, and then go to Daniel. What's your sense? Where are we right now in this whole process, and how are things sitting?
Well, you know, I think the one thing to remember, Jim, is arithmetically, we're kind of at the halfway point of this session.
Okay.
But the session does not operate and move on arithmetic time. It moves logarithmically. So we may be halfway through this session.
At 65 days.
Yeah, we've maybe only done about 3 to 5% of the actual work.
Really?
I mean, everything right now is being written in pencil. They don't start pulling out the pens until much later. So there's still a lot of action yet to be had.
Very, very interesting perspective, 3%. Daniel, what are you thinking? You've been running around the Capitol, I know, for years, not to mention the last week. What are you hearing on the ground?
Well, I think things are looking good. I think, you know, there's a lot of folks believe they're going to get it done. You know, I know there's been a lot of talk of a special session, but I think there's a lot of optimism that still is there. But that was last week. So, you know, then you come in this week, which, you know, the big news for this coming week is in the House, you know, with the state budget. It's for the next 2 years. And we've all been cordial for, you know, up until now. And now I think that we're really going to see if Republicans and Democrats really can get together and where they agree and disagree on the budget, because the budget document is the only document that shows people where the priorities are for the legislature. And I think we'll see that on Wednesday and Thursday of this week.
I was looking at an article the other day that listed, as he did last time, listed Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's top 30 priorities, which is, according to most folks, a fairly exhaustive, if not too long of a list. But this will be instructive and help our listeners, because they're in order of importance. And for those of you who follow it, there's numbers on every bill in the House and Senate, and the Speaker of the House in the House and the Lieutenant Governor in the Senate kind of save their spots with the numbers 1, 2, 3 through 30 for their most important bills. Here, Dan Patrick's SB1 is the state budget. SB2 is local property tax caps. SB3 is the $5,000 pay raise for librarians and teachers. SB4 is overhauling the method of funding public schools, which is entirely different than property tax reform. And finally, number 5, I'll just leave it at that, is the homestead exemption. increase from $25,000 a year to $35,000 a year. So, Dale, let's get your opinion on the budget, because in the budget, you have to go ahead and determine how you're going to fund property tax reform, how you're going to fund the teacher pay raise and the permanent school, not the permanent school fund, but the rainy day fund, the stability fund is, it's kind of not becoming a rainy day fund anymore. If you look at some of the comments I heard this week or listen to them, it's really a kitty for spending additional spending. It's looking like we're spending almost like drunken sailors this session. Am I too far off with saying that?
Oh, you know, the numbers are daunting. I don't think there's any question about that. But now, okay, now before we jump into the budget, I'm going to get on your case a little bit.
Okay.
And Daniel will probably join in.
Okay.
But, you described Senate Bill 2 as property tax caps, and actually they are not. What Senate Bill 2 and what House Bill 2 do is they basically say if a jurisdiction wants to raise more than 2.5%, they have to get voter approval. Now, that's being mistakenly represented by some at the Capitol who don't like that idea.
Fair
as
enough.
A cap, that it's a hard constraint on state and local government. On local government, it's not. It's basically just saying above this point, you have to involve your voters. You have to make your case to them so that the taxpayers can make a decision on how much they're willing to pay and how much, you know, services they want. Mm-hmm. So
help us citizens. Help our local officials prioritize what we want to spend on. And you're right, it's not a property cap. It's a as you described it, a level that's yet to be determined of how fast government can grow.
Absolutely, but it's not saying government can't grow.
Yeah.
If you can make your case, if there is a initiative that the public is behind, willing to support and willing to pay for, then it gives them an opportunity to make their voices heard. So we think that's overall that's a very good piece of legislation. I think it stalled for the time being, but as Daniel pointed out, this is a week where all the focus is going to be on the budget.
Okay.
And in the House and Senate operate a little differently. The House budget will go to the floor and it will be opened up. Any amendment that you want to offer that raises money or cuts money, that's on the table.
Okay.
But there is a rule that if you want to add money, you have to take it out of another part of the budget. So there's sort of a limiting factor on that.
Essentially pay for it with removing something else.
Absolutely. But it's an incredible thing to watch is the budget on the floor of the House. It'll take all day, maybe two. Very different in the Senate. In the Senate, there's more of a tradition where, out of respect for the chair of the Budget Writing Finance Committee, they don't amend the bill on the floor.
Okay.
And typically, the speeches on the floor of the Senate are offering great kudos to the chair of the Finance Committee, whereas in the House, it's more like a free-for-all.
Okay.
So for spectator sport, Wednesday is the day you want to turn your television sets to the Capitol station. It is something to see like nothing else. Now let's talk about the numbers a little bit, because
yes,
they are pretty impressive. The numbers are high. They are spending a lot, but there are a couple of moving parts to that. One is,
I'll just throw out, $119.1 billion is what Comptroller Glenn Hager says we have to spend. $119 billion. Up from $110 billion 2 years ago, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And that has invited a lot of folks that have sat on the sidelines the last few years with their priorities to come forward. And, of course, you know, public education is one area that the governor, the lieutenant governor, the speaker all agree is we need to do better than what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's $9 billion more for public education that's in the House bill. There's $6 billion more in the Senate bill. They agree that they're going to do something. They're just still, unfortunately, about $3 billion apart on the numbers. And they disagree with what they want to spend that money on. The House wants to put about $6 billion of that money into classroom improvements, program improvements, about $3 billion into property tax relief. The Senate's, you know, probably closer to $2 to $3 billion in property tax relief, but much of the money they're putting into education goes directly to a teacher pay raise.
Okay, all right.
So very little discretion for school boards at that point. But those are the issues that are going to get debated on this Saturday, this Wednesday. Once the House weighs in, the bill goes over to the Senate. The Senate will pass its version, and then we'll spend about a month in a conference committee trying to iron out those differences.
Okay, so there's the process, Daniel. Some of the numbers here are adding up. We got just over a minute left in this segment. What do you see in terms of general spending patterns so far? And this expectation that we're going to be able to provide significant property tax reform is going to involve a budget number to be spent. How are they doing so far to set themselves up to meet that expectation?
Well, I think that's going to be that's the $64,000 question. You know, a lot of people have promised and made promises early on this year in this legislative session, as well as last year, that they're going to provide meaningful property tax relief. And I think that question has yet to be answered. So what does that look like? You know, if it saves me $100, does that mean that I'm for it? Probably. But other people will say $100 is not enough.
And that's an actual number that's being tossed around right now.
It is.
Only $100 on your property.
That's right. And, you know, again, depending on, you know, there's a lot of different ideas out there, but some are you know, $100, and others will be $300 to $350. The point of it is that the legislature is going to have to, whatever they decide, if they're going to have to sell whatever they pass and whatever the governor signs, they're going to have to sell that to their grassroots. And I'll tell you right now, based on what at least I'm seeing on the social media side, the far right, the conservative groups aren't happy. They're not happy right now, so it's going to be really interesting to see where that ends up.
Okay, that's a perfect segue because I wanted to get some of the numbers and the process out of the way. And now after this news break at the top of the hour, we're going to get into the politics, folks, because it's really starting to get interesting. We take a break for the news, and we'll be right back here on the Texas Insider Show on Talk 1370.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, good job there, Dalen. A little Billy Joel. We didn't start the fire, but I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of smoke right now out there at the Texas legislature, at least if under the interpretation of some of us. Welcome back to this week's Texas Insider Show. Folks, I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Talk 1370, The Right Choice. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we post about 10 or 15 articles keeping you on the inside of Texas and national politics. The lead story up there right now is old Bernie Sanders, the socialist Democrat, talking about when he gets to the White House, he's going to do away with fracking after the United States has just become the largest oil and gas producer ever in the world for the first time ever. And we don't have to be sending our sons and daughters over to fight for oil and gas anymore. And then the other thing we just put up is a poll from some economic prognosticators who picked Donald Trump to win last time, unlike anybody else. And they're predicting and forecasting that would happen again. But we're visiting today, and be sure and check us out at Facebook and Twitter, just at Texas Insider. But we're visiting today with two of the state's preeminent economic and tax and school finance experts. That would be Daniel Gonzalez from the Texas Association of Realtors and Dale Kramer from the Texas and Taxpayers Research Association. And guys, we've talked about some of the numbers. We've talked about the process. Dale, thanks for pointing out that everybody should be watching the House floor this week on Wednesday when they're bringing up the budget. But I want to get into some of the politics, because the chatter in the background talk, which always happens, is really starting to escalate. And this idea that here at the beginning of the session, I've got in my hot little hand a February 1st Austin American Statesman front page, and there is Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, Governor Greg Abbott, House Speaker Dennis Bonin, all talking about how identical bills, HB2 and SB2, have been filed, and that they're all going to deliver property tax reform. But Daniel, this week, I tell you, there was an article in the Dallas Morning News yesterday where some of the Tea Party conservatives and some of the in Austin cottage industry fire-breathing, I call them unstable libertarians, are starting to come after Dan Patrick and saying we're not sure where things are going because they're spending money too fast. What's the state of the political dynamic? And have these guys painted themselves in a corner where if they don't get to 2.5%, they're going to be criticized as being failures?
I think that's a great question, or great questions, because, you know, property tax reform, as we have stated before, what they're doing today with Senate Bill 2 and House Bill 2 is the most best thing that they have done in over 30 years to the property tax system since it was created in 1979.
Really?
And when appraisal districts opened up their doors a year later.
So it's no small task they're taking.
Oh, it's no. Yeah, sure. It's a huge, huge task. And ultimately, these bills, while they will slow the growth, potentially slow the growth of property taxes, these bills provide more transparency to taxpayers. And we, at least we have said, and I believe Dale has said the same thing, that while the rollback rate is important and it should be looked at and it should be lowered because it's 8% has been there since 1981, the transparency part of these bills are huge, and it's going to allow people to better understand the appraisal process and the tax rate setting process. But more importantly, it will not allow local officials to continue to hide behind increased appraisal values and still tell people we lowered the tax rate.
Because it's going to be real-time online type stuff.
That's exactly right. So you'll be able to look and see what your impact is going to be to your property in hopefully real-time as these things are occurring. So instead of having only two or three people who show up at a budget hearing at the city council, hopefully we'll have 100 or 200 or 1,000. You know, compare that to the tens of thousands of people that go and protest their value at the appraisal district level. They completely forget about the tax rate setting process. So we put way too much emphasis on the appraisal side, less emphasis on the tax rate setting side. These bills will change that.
I know both of you all have been in the last couple months and both separately said that there's the two parts of the equation on your property tax. There's the value of your home times the tax rate equals your tax bill. And both of y'all have said before that we voters and homeowners and taxpayers need to be focusing on not the appraisal process and appealing that, but help setting the tax rate. Dale, I want to get your opinion, because right before the news break at the top of the hour, Daniel mentioned that with some of these currently discussed tax cut or property tax adjustments, it's going to be nothing more than $100 or $200 that people are going to see difference in their tax bill. That's going to be a problem based on the expectations and what Texans are expecting, correct?
Well, yeah, and I think
controlling— And is that where we are?
Well, I think controlling expectations is usually a big part of the political game. But in this case, this session, they've been building up expectations, mm-hmm. which is a little unusual.
Throwing gas on the fire.
Yeah, it's a fire that's doing pretty well without extra gasoline, too.
Yes, but, yes.
Dan, I do want to second something Daniel said, in okay. that what some folks call transparency, what I call visibility, with the property tax rate setting process is critical in this bill. We get our property tax bills in October. You know, all we see is a big number at the bottom. We have no clue what all the moving parts are. Mm-hmm. What House Bill 2, what Senate Bill 2 are going to do is, before you get that bill, you're going to be able to go online in real time and see who is raising your taxes, by how much, so that you can decide, okay, you know, if I am I against this? Am I willing to support this? But also, instead of just going to the hearing, you'll be able to click on links and send emails to people, let them know what you where you really? Stand on these proposed tax rates. Yeah, the sad thing, and as Daniel will tell you, what should be the happiest day of your year is when you get the appraisal on your house. It is telling you that your values are going up. The most precious asset that you own is worth more. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should be a day of joy. Yes. But instead, it's become a day of trepidation because everyone is scared of the taxes associated with that. The truth is, it's not your appraisal that drives up your taxes. Once the appraisal is set, your tax bill is zero.
You've said that before, and
absolutely.
I love that.
It doesn't become a number until the taxing jurisdictions adopt their tax rates. That's what we need to pay attention to. And that's what House Bill 2 and Senate Bill 2 are doing. And that message is kind of getting lost in this battle over, you know, should it be a 2.5% voter threshold? Should it be 4%? Should it be 6%? This bill, even without the voter threshold, is the most far-reaching property tax reform legislation we've seen since 1981. And it may be kind of a nerdy thing to talk about, but the truth is we're giving homeowners, we're giving property owners the tools by which that they can finally impact the rate setting process that determines what their tax bills are.
Okay, before we get too far into the fun little economic and policy wonk type debates or issues like that, I want to pivot a little bit because I think the public is having a problem distinguishing something right now. And that is what we've been talking about is the property tax reform effort. Just as important, because all the statewide leaders have said you can't do property tax reform without school finance reform. They are separate bills. So they've got to pass the budget. They've got to pass the property tax reform. But Daniel, they've also got to pass how we fund reform and how we fund our schools. Dan Huberty came out, the chairman of the House Education Committee, with a big bill the other day. Lots of fanfare. He had dozens of members standing up there. He says he's got over 100 co-sponsors on the finance reform of school finance. On the Senate, not so much. Larry Taylor introduced his bill with essentially some placeholders and not many numbers in there. And yet everybody's been thinking that the Senate is where all the finance reform stuff's going to happen. What's the lay of the land so far on school finance reform?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, and you're right. School finance is a huge part of this whole equation. I had a conversation yesterday with someone who I'm not going to name, but I just mentioned to him, wow, it's really interesting to see how far apart, my words, how far apart the House and Senate are on mm-hmm. school finance. Mm-hmm. And what was told back to me was, Daniel, they're not that far apart. They're really, really close.
Was this an elected official who you were talking to?
This was someone who would be in the know. Okay. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And it really surprised me because from the outside looking in, you know, for taxpayers and parents and everyone else, you would believe that they are far apart because of exactly what you just said. The Senate bill had a whole bunch of fill in the blanks, you know, in mm-hmm. it. I think we'll see more, not this coming week, but the following week when it's anticipated that the school finance plan for the House will be on the House floor. So that's will be there in 2 weeks. And what everyone's waiting for is apparently there's, you know, it's called the runs, you know, so the Texas Education Agency in conjunction with Legislative Budget Board, they put together numbers on what changes in the school finance structure will mean for each individual school district within a member's legislative district.
Okay.
So everyone's waiting for those numbers for those spreadsheets to be looked at, because that's going to tell the legislators, individual legislators, whether or not their district, their legislative district, and their school districts are winner or loser under the plan.
Dale, part of what he's talking about there is the basic, what's known as the basic allotment. It's being increased from $5,500 and change to $6,030. That's going to cost something. Give us your read on the difference between the House and the Senate on the school finance reform portion.
Well, the House has put $9 billion into over and above what we currently spend for schools. About two-thirds of that is to put more money into the classrooms. As you mentioned, the basic allotment coming up is a part of that. They've also simplified the formula substantially so that it's not quite at a point where the average person can understand it, but it is at least more understandable than where they've been. The Senate basically is looking at using those dollars and directing them for a teacher pay raise. As Daniel pointed out, they may not be as far apart as what they appear on paper.
Okay.
And a good indication of that is we're not seeing sort of the back and forth sniping between the House and the Senate and the governor that we usually see this time of the session. So they're much better mannered, and I think that's a sign that they're talking much more regularly. The issue over tax relief, tax reform, is one that we'll probably talk a little more about. The truth of the matter is nobody's property taxes are going to go down because of the legislation that we're talking about.
Okay, right now. I got to interrupt you right there. We're going to have to take our final commercial break. Dang, this hour is going by fast, but we'll take it up from right where you left it off right there. Dale Kramer with the Texas and Taxpayers Research Association on the Texas Insider Show. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and happy Saturday to you in lovely downtown Austin, Texas. I'm Jim Cardle. Welcome to the Texas Insider Show's final segment, and thanks for joining us today. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Talk 1370. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org to get your insight on the Texas and national politics, and check us out at Facebook and Twitter at Texas Insider. Dale Kramer with the Texas and Taxpayers Research Association and Daniel Gonzalez with the Texas Association of Realtors. Dale, you left on a good point there that I want to keep going, and you mentioned during the break. We've got two problems, and you concisely stated it. I want to have you repeat that. And then we got to look at, there was a headline in the Austin Statesman the other day about a possible sales tax expansion to help pay for some of this stuff. But pick up where you left off and tell us what the two problems are.
Well,
in your good phraseology.
Yeah, Jim, we've heard a lot about property tax relief this session, property tax reform. The reality is, and it's not a criticism of the legislature, it's just a simple fact of the numbers, that all of the legislation we've been talking about addresses one part of the problem. There are two problems with the property tax today in Texas. One, they're too dadgum high.
Yeah.
And two, they are spiraling out of control.
Okay.
What we're talking about this session with the House Bill 2, Senate Bill 2, with House Bill 3, we're talking about dealing with a spiraling out of control. We're going to bring we're going to bring this creature under control and put it in a fenced yard.
Okay.
But it is still an untamed horse. The bottom line is, this session we're probably going to be able to control the spiral, bring them back, but they're still going to be high. The only way to bring property taxes down from where they are today is going to be to have some type of revenue alternative, substitute money for the property taxes we pay. And we've seen proposals that would raise the sales tax rate. We've seen proposals that would expand the sales tax base and raise additional dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about that as tax relief. It's not. It's not. Tax reform. You're instead of paying out of the left pocket, you're going to pay out of the right pocket. Now, that may be a better choice for you, but it's not going to cut your overall taxes.
Okay. Dale Kramer, Texas Taxpayers and Research Association president, on Thursday, March 21st, that was 2 days ago, front page of the Austin Statesman headline, big letters, sales tax exemption, ? Old Drew Springer, state representative, is proposing that we, and this has been talked about, Charlie Guerin from Fort Worth done it too, that we maybe give local entities a little bit ability to increase their sales tax to include things like coffee and tea and e-cigarettes and ibuprofen and your barber and all kinds of other things. And Daniel Gonzalez, I want to ask you about this. Dale Kramer's quoted here. Dale, you were everywhere this week. In any session, the odds are always against any type of tax reform. The challenge of tax reform is, will the folks you upset by extending the tax be offset by the folks who thank you for the relief that you give? And we've already talked about, we're not going to get too much tax relief this time. But how about the idea of looking at other places and the sales tax idea?
No, you certainly can. You can look at anything. You can look at sales tax. You can look at the ever dreaded word income tax. You can look at anything.
Then Republicans are going to be the ones blamed for increasing taxes, potentially, is the remarkable thing.
Sure. And I think what people need to understand is that, yes, you know, if you can have a tax cut, whether it's on, let's just take property taxes. Okay, we're going to cut property taxes by, let's say, for example, increasing the homestead exemption that currently the state pays for, which is $25,000 for residential homesteads. Let's say the legislature wants to increase that to $50,000. Great. They can do that, but to pay for it, they have to increase taxes that the same homeowners that are going to benefit from that increased homestead exemption will have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, the real question is, how much money are you actually saving? And I think that's what people are going to have to answer for themselves is, If you're going to save money from your left pocket, but more money is going to be taken out of your right pocket, if you're left from a net sum still zero, does that ultimately benefit you? And I think that's where the legislature really is grappling with is, can they want to provide these tax cuts that they've been talking about, but in order to do so, they have to pay for them, and by paying for them, you have to raise other taxes. So you're cutting on one end, but you're raising taxes on the other.
Okay, guys, I want to get to, and again, we're going to be chronicling week by week by week, the remaining 65 days of the session, exactly what's going on, because as you both have said, this is so significant. I got to talk about the politics again, because that's what a large percent, what did Yogi Berra used to say, 90% of the game is mental and the other half is physical or something like that. But Daniel, I'll start with you. There was an article in the Dallas Morning News yesterday entitled, "Has Dan Patrick Loosed His Conservative Ties?" And they quote Julie McCarty here from the Fort Worth Tea Party. They quote Michael Quinn Sullivan from Empower Texans. And they're both saying, quote, you know, where's reducing the franchise tax? Where's ending the tax on university tuition? Where's freezing tuition rates? Where is the red light camera bill? Where is repealing the in-state tuition for illegal immigrants? All these ideas that conservatives in the state, and again, I call a lot of them, because we want the legislature to move slow, frankly. That is the definition of a conservative, in my humble opinion. But where is the state population and the state grassroots, from what you gain, and maybe it's your membership, on all these other conservative ideas? Because it's going to get political, and the criticisms by the riffraff or legitimate criticism is going to start coming out. Are they really about to get into it?
The short answer is yes, they are about to get into it. You know, we come from a very unique perspective. You know, working for Texas Realtors and representing their interests at the Capitol, we represent 125,000 members all across the state, and these members are all across the political spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
What our members are looking for is an environment in Texas that can allow them to be successful. and allow their customers and their clients to get to that first home, be that first time home buyer, or for that person who wants to open up their business and find that one commercial property that's going to be beneficial to them. That our members want a good economic stable environment in Texas. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of other groups who want to not look at those business type issues or economic issues and want to look at more social type issues, if you will. And I'm not saying that entire list that you just read are all social issues. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that you said it correctly at the beginning of the hour, 140 days every 2 years. That's how much time we have in the legislative process. There's not a lot of time for a lot of extracurricular stuff out there. So I think the legislature is really looking at those core functions of what state government should be doing. And I think they're focusing on those. And I think ultimately on May 27th of this year, I think they'll get everything done that they need to get done, and they'll be determined to be successful.
Okay, I got to commend everybody to look at Daniel's website, hiddenpropertytax.com. You'll learn a lot there, and it's pretty easy, fun read, hiddenpropertytax.com. But Dale Kramer with the Texas and Taxpayers Research Association, I'm going to ask you because it's a similar version of the same question, because you represent all the state's large employers. You need to hire graduates in these businesses that are educated, so we need a sound education system. But are the Republicans in the state legislature looking toward 2020 after the recent election wake-up call that they got? And are they softening their tone these days with, again, some of these other extracurricular issues, which the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but yet we got to do school finance? So is the political process really, do you think, coming to the forefront here with some of these statewide leaders?
I think the politics of this session have changed. I think seeing a leadership that in the past maybe was more focused on red meat issues, and now they're more focused on issues of management and control. And how the process works. I think
because this is what the grassroots need to understand. Republicans have to come to grips with how to govern. Correct.
Absolutely.
It's not an easy thing.
Absolutely. And you're seeing some unusual issues come to the forefront, like teacher pay. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, this is a marketplace issue. The economy is hot. We are losing teachers to better parts of the economy, mm-hmm. where they can leave and get paid more. So I think to establish the type of foundation that Daniel talks about, that we need to have a strong economic base. Yeah, we probably do have to do something with regards to teacher pay. Is 5,000 the right number? I don't know. But I think there clearly is a recognition that the state has to adapt to the economy as well, mm-hmm. as private business does. It's just a reality of the economy that we live in.
Okay, folks, we got to doggone it. Like I said, Daniel Gonzalez, Dale Kramer, I really appreciate y'all coming in. I hope you'll come back here in the
Absolutely.
Coming weeks. And
been a pleasure.
And as you both said, this is going to be the most significant tax reform session since 1979 or 1980. So we're going to do our best.
And this is better spectator sport than spring baseball.
There you go.
That's right.
Baseball season starts this week. Well put, Dale. Be sure and check out the Texas Taxpayers and Research Association at ttara.org. Dale Kramer, thanks a ton. And Daniel Gonzalez, be sure and check out hiddenpropertytax.com. We appreciate you guys coming in. And folks, we appreciate you listening to this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. Remember, you're either an insider or you're not. We'll talk to you next Saturday at 12 o'clock right here on the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. Have a great week, everybody.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Parts.